The Black Templars surge into battle like the Emperor's wrath made manifest. Streaking down from the void, or thundering to war in mechanized spearheads. They strike with a fury that leaves mankind's enemies reeling. Guns blazing, blades singing, their armored bodies arrayed in the raiment and relics of the Imperial faith. They butcher all who stand in their path. It is fanatical faith that drives the Black Templars ever onward in their eternal crusade across the stars. In their gene seed, they are successors to the Imperial Fists, scions of Dorne, inheritors of his iron will and stubborn, unwavering strength. In the Black Templars, this august heritage manifests as an unquenchable fire. It fills them with self-righteous hatred and tireless intolerance. It is the endless wellspring of zealous rage that has driven them to uphold their oaths and to fight to prove their loyalty for 10,000 years without pause. The alien, the mutant, the heretic, and the witch, all are the enemies of the Black Templars. So vehement is their determination to purge the Emperor's realm of these threats, that they forge ever onward in crusading fleets, and wherever they find the foe, they suffer none to live. In that time, when the God Emperor walked amongst his sons clad in golden raiment, then was the name of Sigismund given unto greatness. For Sigismund was close within the councils of Dorne the Genesire, who was foremost in might amongst all the God Emperor's sons, guardian of the blessed bastions of Holy Terra, against the perfidy of the arch-traitor. And Sigismund was named the Emperor's champion and did stand in guardianship over his legion's most holy site, and did command those Templars who had proven themselves most faithful and devout amongst all the Primarch's blessed sons. About themselves they bound the chains of willing and pious devotion. Through a time of darkest heresy they fought, and ever did the light of the true faith blaze from within them, that they might turn back the darkness. And then it was that the Emperor chose his time of ascension to the Golden Throne. For he knew that his realm would ever be safe in their keeping. Now came a second time of testing, for the Emperor's loyal sons stood in opposition and in doubt. In that time did Dorne the Genesire become the anvil of tempering upon which each of his brothers was tested. And in the fullness of time, even Gilliman the Divisive was proven sound of faith, such that mighty Dorne was moved to suffer his brother's will. And in this age did Dorne the Genesire see fit also to test his most favored sons, and did Sigismund step boldly forth, and about him came forth also the most pious and the most mighty of the Imperial Fists, that they might carry the Emperor's light unto even the most benighted corners of the darkling void as his Black Templars. And now was Sigismund named High Marshal, and did he offer his sacred vow to bear the Emperor's holy truth upon his eternal crusade. crusade. And by the certainty of its scripture, he would punish the sinful, the heretical, and the tainted in his righteousness and in his wrath. The Holy Chapter. The Black Templars are warriors of the Adeptus Astartes. Yet for all their similarities to their brother chapters, they also diverge greatly from the tenets of the Codex Astartes. Ironically, in this respect at least, the Black Templars are amongst the most deviant of the Emperor's Angels of Death. Though only the most ancient and apocryphal records remain to tell of it, when the second founding occurred, the Imperial Fists sired two successor chapters. Of these, the Black Templars were by far the more divergent in their doctrines and beliefs. Here was a chapter that echoed the Emperor's original Great Crusade, for they took no home world, but instead plied the stars in tireless fleets of void ships and eliminated each new threat to humanity as they encountered it. Just as the Emperor's decree forbade the Space Marine legions to deploy Psyker mutants as librarians within their ranks, so did the Black Templars eschew their usage. Indeed, so extreme was their adoption of this creed that the chapter remains grudging and cruel in its employment of even such fundamentally important psychers as navigators and astropaths unto the present day. The Black Templars paid mere lip service to Rebute Guilliman's vaunted Codex Astartes, choosing instead to obey their own organizational systems and heraldic codes. The chapter also jealously guarded their autonomy, even more so than did most Space Marine chapters. From the time when Sigismund took his mantle as the High Marshal, Imperial institutions could petition these crusading war knights for aid, if they could find or contact them. Yet, asking the Black Templars for help was no guarantee of its provision, especially if they judged such petitioners corrupt or unworthy. The exception were those worlds ruled over by the Ecclesiarchy. The Black Templars would gladly fight and die in defense of such sacred nexuses of divinity. And therein lies the clue to the chapter's most fundamental divergence from the norm. Unlike the secular spiritualism and ancestor worship of most Space Marine chapters, the Black Templars' faith is absolute. They see the Emperor of Mankind as a god, a literal deity to be worshipped and adored, and to whom sacrifice upon the field of battle is owed. It is this holy, uncompromising religious fervor that characterizes all the Black Templars are and do. From the lowliest of neophytes to the High Marshal himself, the chapter believe themselves unimpeachably righteous, no matter how abhorrent their deeds seem, no matter the extremes of violence the Black Templars unleash, or the massacres they perpetrate, the blood they spill, or the worlds they burn. So long as they do these things in the Emperor's name and in defense of his realm, they are always justified. Yet, by the same token, the Black Templars will never stop attempting to prove their loyalty to the Emperor. Such was the first vow that Sigismund swore when the chapter's forebears set off from Holy Terra. Such is the task that still sees the chapter divided into crusade fleets that unify and subdivide endlessly as duty requires. Plying the darkest fringes of imperial space, or plunging into the hellish maelstrom of the Imperium Nihilis in search of foes. The Black Templars have exterminated countless alien races, shattered stellar empires, and persecuted even those imperial citizens whose faith they found wanting, all in the name of their never-ending crusade. Crusades of the Emperor. Just as the Black Templars stand apart from more codex-adherent chapters in their beliefs and methods, so too do they diverge in many aspects of recruitment, organization, and military doctrine. The road trodden by these fanatical warriors is bloody and fraught with hardships, even by the standards of the Adeptus Astartes. From tactical and intercessor squads, through to aggressors, eliminators, centurions, and more, the Black Templars employ codex-approved groupings in battle. However, the chapter also possesses its own unique formation known as the Crusader Squad. These consist of neophytes, unproven new recruits, fighting alongside the more experienced initiates, and may even be led to battle by one of the elite Sword Brethren. Crusader squads often form the mainstay of Black Templars' armies. They boast varied weaponry such as shotguns, heavy bolt pistols, crackling power fists, and flame-spewing pyroblasters, an array well-suited to the Black Templars' preference for storming enemy lines. It is amongst the Crusader squads that the majority of the chapter's warriors hone their skills, while also tempering their faith to diamond hardness amidst the crucible of war. When their crusade fleets conquer a world, the Black Templars often raise a chapter keep upon it to maintain vigil. Though smaller than the fortress monasteries that serve most chapters as home, each keep is nonetheless a forbidding structure, bristling with ceramite-sheathed battlements, armored shrine redoubts, and gun turrets. A chapter keep can house as many as 200 to 300 space marines at need, as well as the serfs and servitors to support them, and are also ideal centers for recruitment. Rarely are chapter keeps this well garrisoned. After all, what self-respecting Black Templar would settle for guard duty when the foes of the Emperor await beyond the horizon? That said, these fortifications have served their chapter for millennia as temporary strongholds, mustering points for crusades, and as a reminder to all who behold them that the Emperor is ever vigilant. As chapter keeps are typically built on worlds ravaged by war, or else naturally deadly in flora and fauna, their human populations tend to be violent, cunning and self-sufficient. The Black Templars make no effort to improve such people's lot. Existence amidst nightmarish conditions breeds hardy and fanatically faithful aspirants. Some of these present themselves before the chapter keep, bringing the head of a slain mutant or witch as tribute. Others, the Black Templars take by force, snatching them from amidst the blazing rubble of gang-conquered city ruins, the wilds of alien jungles, or the monster-haunted passes of towering mountains. They take only those young enough to undergo the surgical and psycho-spiritual processes required to become a space marine, and who also display sufficient ferocity and hate to be receptive to the chapter's creed. Some prospective neophytes might believe that being accepted by the Black Templars represents an end to their hardships. They are soon disabused of this notion. Every Space Marine chapter puts its new recruits through a battery of tests. This winnows out all but the most exceptional candidates in often fatal contests of skill, stamina, determination, and intellect. On top of these qualities, the Black Templars wish also to test the extent of their aspirants' faith. Whether their trials take place aboard the ships of a crusading fleet or behind the walls of a chapter keep, they are punishing indeed. Aspirants must fight one another in darkened chambers, all the while compelled to answer questions of scripture barked at them from the hidden vox emitters. They run barefoot endurance races over hot coals, plunge their arms into blazing braziers while reciting prayers to the Emperor, battle captive psykers, make terrifying leaps of faith into concealed grav traps, and engage in countless other trials. Through the battery of nightmares, the aspirants must also deal with racking agonies as their bodies adapt to their implanted organs, and with endless barrages of psycho-indoctrination. By the time they are judged ready to advance to the rank of neophyte, few remain. Those that do have been forever changed, transformed into adamantine hard killers and religious fanatics loyal only to their chapter and their god emperor. The Black Templars take an individualistic approach to their inducted warriors' training. Each neophyte is assigned to the tutelage of an initiate, an experienced warrior who has already proven their worth and advanced to a rank roughly comparable with the battle brothers of most chapters' 9th through 2nd companies. The initiate, for their part, vows to teach their neophyte the ways of the chapter, to hone the new recruit's skills and stoke the coals of their faith until they are ready to become an initiate themselves. In return, the neophyte serves as the initiate's serf and squire both. To them fall duties such as caring for their initiate's arms and armor, waiting upon their initiate during chapter feasts, acting as second during honor duels, and standing long vigil while their initiate kneels in hours of prayer. When they enter battle together, it is as part of a crusader squad, amongst whose ranks each neophyte is expected to fight as though the emperor himself were presiding over their deeds. Towards the end of a neophyte's training, they may be dispatched by their initiate to fight as a part of a more conventional scout squad or similar neophyte formation. Only once they have passed many such trials will the neophyte's initiate, in concert with one of the chapter's chaplains, pronounce them worthy to ascend. Initiates enjoy far greater freedom than their neophyte charges, but bear heavier burdens of responsibility also. Many continue to fight amongst the crusader squads, taking on a neophyte to train as they were once trained themselves. Others, those of particularly singular temperament, or who are currently awaiting assignment of a new neophyte, instead don the armor of specialist squads, such as aggressors, incursors, outriders, assault marines, and so on. The culture of the Black Templars is such that they largely gravitate towards the most aggressive and close-quarters battlefield roles. Indeed, the chapter holds such zealous warriors in high esteem, and permits them to display red edging to their shoulder guards as a mark of honor. The Black Templars operate a flexible organizational structure. Some crusades number as few as a handful of warriors, others vast assemblages of many hundreds of space marines. Typically, though, they count between 50 and 300 space marines amongst their ranks. It is easy to see how, when spread thin across a war-torn and chaotic galaxy, the actual number of Black Templars fighting in service to the Emperor is almost unguessable. It is said that only the High Marshal ever knows this figure for sure, though how he could possess such information is a mystery. There seems little doubt, though, that the Black Templars number substantially more than the 1,000 Space Marines under arms stipulated by the Codex Astartes. Many of the more compliant chapters look askance at the Black Templars, resenting them for such flagrant disregard for the rules established by Gilliman. The Ordo Astartes has gone further. Inquisitor Yetsmov, leading a century-long and thus far wholly fruitless mission to determine their true numbers and bring the chapter to heel. The Black Templars themselves are sanguine about such matters. They know with certainty that all they do with the express blessing of the God Emperor. Such a mandate surely overrules any mortal strictures. Where they need to bring organization to larger crusading forces, the Black Templars employ formations known as fighting companies. These will usually be a roughly equal division of the available Black Templars present, meaning that each fighting company can range from a few dozen to a full 100 or so Space Marines, along with all the material, support assets, and specialists required to keep them operational in the field. Individuals usually choose their fighting company based more upon fraternal warrior bonds than mandatory allocation. This can lead to fighting companies possessing unusual mixtures of squads and vehicles. It also means that on protracted crusades, the warriors in a fighting company may campaign together for years, even decades, building incredibly strong bonds of brotherhood and martial honor. Each fighting company is commanded by a castellan, who in turn owes their fealty to the crusade's marshal. Meanwhile, specialists such as tech marines, chaplains, and apothecaries have autonomy to go where they believe they are needed most, sometimes remaining with one fighting company for the duration of its crusade, sometimes moving from one to the next as the spirit of the God Emperor compels them. Black Templars who survive to become initiates then spend decades, sometimes centuries, without advancing to any other higher rank. There is no dishonor in this. Where the Battle Brothers of more conventional chapters progress steadily through the companies of their chapter and learn different ways of war as they do so, each Black Templar instead walks his own path. It is between him and the Emperor how he chooses to purge the unclean, and what weapons and marks of armor he learns to wield in the service of that goal. As the years pass, most initiates naturally develop new skills and specialisms. The variety of foes that must be fought, and the extreme conditions in which they must be persecuted, necessitates this. Those initiates sent to launch a spearhead drop against Duggan heretic forces must, by necessity, master the use of jump packs and gravis armor in order to do their duty to the Emperor. Equally, those tasked with patrolling vast wastelands in search of Xenos raiders must fight from the backs of light vehicles such as Space Marine bikes, Invader ATVs, and land speeders, lest their foes leave them in the dust. Hunting demon-infested war engines, meanwhile, necessitates a mastery of the Melta rifle and the Thunderhammer, or else the skilled piloting of a tank or Invictor tactical warsuit. Though they do not easily relinquish the purity of a headlong charge into the foe as part of their Crusader squad, neither do initiates shrink from any challenge that the God Emperor sets for them. After especially notable victories or harrowing trials, initiates may claim memento mori of their slain foes. Some are awarded so-called humble relics by the Crusade's chaplains, the finger bones of Imperial saints, fragments of marble from some tomb or shrine of note, weapons or segments of armor blessed by the touch of heroes now martyred in the Imperial cause. Those initiates committed to a long-running oath of vengeance or sworn to a penitent task may don chains of faithful service like the ancient Templars of Scripture. Some choose to bear memorial flames, be they flickering candles, caged lumen, or braziers burning upon their backpacks, better to commemorate pious comrades fallen along the way. In this way, as initiates fight on in the God Emperor's name, their breadth of martial skill grows ever greater and their war gear ever more ornate. Many initiates fall in battle against the myriad foes of mankind. Their ardor for battle and the uncompromising zeal with which they hurl themselves upon their enemies ensures that the rate of attrition is high. The hardiest survive long enough to be interred within the armored shell of a dreadnought. This is viewed as a great honor amongst the Black Templars. Not only does it allow the martyred hero to fight on in the God Emperor's service for many hundreds of years to come, but it also fuses the fallen warrior with a precious relic of the chapter. Those who do not die, who earn glory upon countless battlefields and slaughter legions of traitors, mutants, and witches, eventually earn the rank of veteran. This advancement can be awarded by any Black Templar of sufficient rank, be they a chaplain or castellan, or even one already possessed of veteran status. It is a recognition of long service, of martial prowess, and of unswerving zealotry all, and it is rare indeed for an initiate to earn the rank before at least a century's service to the chapter. Veterans are excused the duty of training further neophytes. They are afforded access to their crusade's rarest and most potent articles of war gear. They may now, if they wish, adopt the red trim and cross that reflects their elite status. Not all veterans choose to do so. They scorn even this simple expression of personal aggrandizement, and instead pass what honor they are due to the God Emperor. In either case, veterans band together, taking to the field as Blade Guard, Stern Guard, Terminators, Veteran Intercessors, and the like, with their mighty war gear, blazing faith, and ferocious warrior skill. Such veteran squads often form the cutting edges of their fighting companies. Plunging into the blazing heart of battle, these warriors are offered ample opportunities to earn the only honor greater than that which they already bear, that of joining the Sword Brethren. The Sword Brethren are an organization unique to the Black Templars. Each is handpicked for greatness by the marshal of their crusade in recognition of some truly exceptional deed. These are warriors who have held alone against tides of foes, or else led the slaughter of faithless millions, who have risked all to protect some holy relic, slain the most reviled of traitors or witches, raised icons and toppled idols, or proven their own faith in the face of impossible temptations. Not all Sword Brethren are chosen from amongst a crusade's veterans. It is not unheard of for initiates to be afforded this honor, should they achieve a deed of suitable note. The marshals are, however, extremely careful with their appointment of Sword Brethren. Once a warrior has been extended this honor, they become, in archaic parlance, one of the marshal's household. And this sets them upon one of two paths. For most, it means serving as a glorious exemplar of the chapter's values for the rest of their days, fighting either amongst bands of fellow Sword Brethren or as the battle-scarred leaders of Crusader squads. Yet, for a rare few battle brothers, it is but the first step up to a higher pulpit still. Many of the Black Templars' ancients and no few of its chaplains, are recruited from the Sword Brethren. Equally, those who rise to the ranks of castellan or even marshal typically do so from within the Sword Brethren. It is a weighty honor indeed, a position of utmost respect and veneration, and only the strongest of faith can bear its burden. Over the history of the chapter, various marshals have found different uses for their Sword Brethren, beyond being exemplars of the crusade. Many field their Sword Brothers as an honor guard, be it for themselves or as protection for some dignitary of the imperial faith who requires safeguarding. Others send the Sword Brethren forth as bands of warrior knights, charged with hunting down and slaying the greatest beasts among the foe. Marshal Gershov of the Proxica Crusade employed his Sword Brethren as witch hunters, asserting that their indomitable faith would shield them from the deviant Xenopsychers they faced upon the killing fields of the Shaga Cluster. Marshal Vigo bade his Sword Brothers deploy solely via gunship during the Spire Wars of Thestra, dubbing them his Black Blades, and using them to deliver the killing blow in a string of decisive engagements. Marshal Hawknor charged his Sword Brethren to guard with their lives the ancient Aurelian Shroud, with his crusade bore through the darkness of the Stygor Rift. The 23 Sword Brothers of the Ledovar Crusade appointed themselves the holy task of eradicating all trace of their enemy's fervent faith, carving a path through one Godoric's war brood after another. They demolished every life shrine, shattered every crystal statue, and immolated every last one of the aliens' sacred Mycelene codices. By the time the crusade was done, they had erased from the galactic record every trace of the Godorix's once rich religious heritage, and left the last dregs of the Xeno species to squirm in the mud of barbarous ignorance. The High Marshal is functionally the Black Templar's chapter master. To him falls the final say upon the chapter's disposition, its deployment, and strategic goals. As with all chapter masters, the High Marshal bears burdens unique to his chapter, namely the duty of upholding Sigismund's ever-binding oath and maintaining the knowledge of how many Black Templars ply the stars. For all other responsibilities, the High Marshals can call upon the support of the Marshals who lead the Crusades. How many Marshals roam the galaxy is unclear, but it seems their duties and rank are similar to those of captains within the Codex adherent chapters. As each crusade must have a marshal, and the number of crusade varies, at some periods over their history, the Black Templars have actually had fewer than 10 marshals within their rank. However, more commonly, the number is surely higher. Crusading so far afield, it is common for some Black Templars' marshals to die having never met some of their contemporaries, or more unusually, the High Marshal himself. However, whenever a momentous decision must be made on behalf of the chapter, all marshals who are able muster upon the the Eternal Crusader to vote. Most commonly, this happens when a High Marshal has fallen, and their successor must be appointed. However, these councils have also convened on occasion to deliberate other weighty matters. Determining the response to Goge Vandyre's Reign of Terror, whether to wait for inquisitorial sanction before launching the punitive Tarakus Crusade against the wayward Star Gorgon's chapter, and most recently, how best to respond to the opening of the Great Rift. Castellans rank below marshals. To them falls the command of each Black Templar's fighting company, acting as conduits for their marshal's will and religious fervor. Castellans are charged with the rule of each active chapter keep. They are responsible for the defense of the fortification, as well as the spiritual and physical security of its world. The recruiting of aspirants and command of any Black Templar's assets garrisoning it. This is a burden that tempers those who carry it, teaching wisdom and patience, even when it feels like the chafing bonds of penance. Many Castellans who excel as keep commanders go on to become the wisest of marshals. The Black Templars spread chaplains and tech marines throughout their crusading fleets. They permit these specialists to move amongst the crusade fleets at need. The chaplains, whose number is always considerable, guard the Black Templars' relics, lead prayers upon the eve of battle, affix crusader seals to their brother's armor, and serve as beacons of zealotry and wrath upon the battlefield. The tech marines watch over the forge shrines, artificeries, and embarkation decks of their crusade fleets like priests guarding their temples. They are never short of servitors to aid in their duties. The Black Templars are pitiless in judgment of human failings, and countless imperial citizens, acolytes, officials, and officers, as well as, infamously, a handful of planetary governors, have ended their days as mind-wiped cyborgs working off their debt to the Emperor. The Emperor's champion, meanwhile, stands outside of any formal accounting of the Black Templars' hierarchy. He is a living miracle who manifests, so the Black Templars believe, by the will of the God Emperor. This blessing can come upon any amongst the chapter, from humble neophyte to lordly marshal. Once it does, their old life is done. Upon the eve of battle, the incumbent receives a vision from the God Emperor of the deeds they will achieve as his champion. Hastening to confess their visions to the chaplains, the newly anointed Emperor's champion is led away to be girded for their new role. Every crusade fleet carries a black sword and an artificer-wrought suit of the armor of faith. These are the sacred tools of the Emperor's champion. Armed and armored, haloed with a nimbus of holy light, the Emperor's champion honors Sigismund by seeking out the foe's champions and lords, then striking them down with righteous fury. With a single blow, the Emperor's champion can lop the head from the serpent and plunge entire enemy hosts into disarray. Of course, there is great risk in this. The Emperor's champion manifests but rarely amongst the crusading fleets, and his presence is seen as a potent omen. Should he be slain, it is a grim indictment of failure, one the Black Templars must atone for by recovering the fallen champion's arm and armor, no matter the cost. On those rare and terrible occasions when this is proven impossible, entire penitent crusades have been launched in order to recover these irreplaceable relics. Era Indominus. It is a bloody and horrific time of trial, such as the Imperium of Mankind has not witnessed in many thousands of years. In this dark hour, the Black Templars see heresy and faithlessness all around them, and have redoubled their efforts to purge the unclean from the God Emperor's realm. When the Great Rift tore the Imperium in two, the Black Templars were already scattered from one end of the galaxy to the other. Marshal Verbeck's Immateria Crusade had pushed as far out into the darkness as the Molech Belt, while the Oparian and Gadios Crusades were last reported variously amidst the Ghoul Stars and upon the Eastern Fringe. Other crusades carved paths of fire across the Ultima Segmentum and the Segmentum's Tempestus and Obscurus, and even the Segmentum Solar. Then came catastrophe, and in its wake, the malevolent shadow of the Noctis Aeterna. By the time the veil began to lift and the light of the Astronomicon shone out anew, several crusades had vanished altogether. Only High Marshal Helbrecht had absolute faith that the Lost Crusades fought on through the benighted wilderness of the Imperium Nihilus. Whether this conviction stemmed purely from belief, or had its foundations in some secret knowledge, he did not say. Even those crusades still at large within the Imperium Sanctus were scattered. Many had been in warp transit when the Great Rift opened. They had been hurled light years off course by the raging empiric tumult that followed, and in some cases, badly mauled. In the face of such disaster, many Space Marine chapters would have sought to consolidate their strength. Yet, as the poisonous tide of the Noctis Aeterna rolled back, it left the Imperium Sanctus strewn with a flotsam of heresy, mutation, and rebellion no Black Templar could abide. This was no time for what they saw as the cowardice of compromise, no hour for retreat. Everywhere, the light of the Imperial faith guttered. The Black Templars believed that it fell to them to fan the flames anew. Surviving crusades redoubled their efforts, fighting with unstinting zeal to purge corrupted Imperial worlds and to punish those whose faith had failed them during the time of darkness. Long-abandoned chapter keeps were brought back into service, and new ones raised, often built upon the sundered rubble of toppled traitor strongholds. Where the curse of witchery proliferated, there the Black Templars were especially wrathful. In war zones such as Talidus, Hochheim II, and the Cyan Stars, The chapter were as much a terror to loyalist forces as to heretics when psychic mutations were discovered amongst the imperial ranks. Due to their unrelenting aggression and scattered disposition, it was no easy task for the torchbearers of the Indomitus Crusade to find the Black Templars and deliver the Primaris miracle to them. Furthermore, of all the Space Marine chapters at large in the galaxy, the openly fanatical Black Templars were deemed amongst the most temperamentally unpredictable in how they would react to this revelation. For these and other reasons, Primarch Rabute Gilliman sought out High Marshal Helbrecht and led a deputation aboard the Eternal Crusader to speak to him directly. Gilliman rightly believed that the High Marshal acted as both the mind and heart of the Black Templars. Successfully introduce Call's miracle here, and it would have been far better chance of being circulated like combat stems around a body than if his messengers chased the scattered crusades across the war-torn galaxy individually. Helbrecht was set upon his pursuit of Gazkul Thraka when Gilliman came to him. The High Marshal received the Primarch with respect bordering upon veneration, for here was a gene son of the Holy God Emperor himself. Yet, at the same time, Helbrecht chafed at the delay, believing that Thraka slipped further away from his grasp with every day. Furthermore, chapter scripture made no bones of Gilliman and Dorne's troubled relationship. Part of the High Marshal could not help but suspect that here was his gene sire's divisive brother, come again after millennia to shackle Dorne's most fervent sons as he had been unable to do before. Helbrecht was no fool. He knew how divergent his chapter's practices and beliefs were. If Gilliman wished to censor the Black Templars, he would not struggle to find apparent grounds. In the end, the meeting went differently than either party was expecting. Rabute Gilliman was surprised at the willingness with which Helbrecht recognized the value of the Primaris tech, even if he attributed a spark of divinity to it that made the Ultramarines Primarch uncomfortable. By comparison, Gilliman did not turn out to be the despot that Helbrecht expected. The Primarch did not command the Black Templars to do other than that which their nature demanded, though he and Helbrecht did clash over the matter of Gazkul. In the end, a compromise was wrought between them. Gilliman reminded Helbrecht of the oaths he had sworn, and of how his duty as High Marshal was to all the Emperor's realm rather than just being to his own vendettas. Shamed, Helbrecht promoted a number of his most seasoned sword brethren to the rank of Marshal, and bade them muster new crusades into whose ranks the Black Templars' Primaris Grey Shields were mingled. These crusades were oath sworn to aid all those worlds of the ecclesiarchy that lay in peril along the border of the Great Rift. This duty done, Helbrecht himself renewed his vow to pursue Gazkul Thraka to the ends of the Emperor's realm, and continued his quest. The widespread galactic disruption of the Era Indominus, coupled with the rapacious recruiting amongst the Crusades, has left the Black Templars' numbers even more in question than before. The High Marshal's seal, set to the Primaris miracle, has done much to encourage its adoption amongst the Crusade fleets. Yet some particularly conservative marshals maintain a mistrust of what they see as borderline heretical tinkering with the Emperor's works. Others have simply outpaced their potential reinforcements thus far, fighting on across far-flung reaches of the Imperium, entirely ignorant of the powerful assets they could have added to their ranks. There has been some talk that the Black Templars have proven especially resilient during the crossing of the Rubicon Primaris, and that it may be a reward for their unwavering faith in the God Emperor. Equally, of course, this could be confirmation bias or baseless rumor at work. The one certainty in this bloody new age is that the Black Templars fight on as they always have, seeking the heretic, the mutant, the witch, and the traitor wherever they may be found, and, whether alongside the forces of the Indominus Crusades or fighting alone, purging them without mercy.